لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Great to see you all, mashallah. And I hope that in bi'idhnillah your travels over here and your the difficulty that you've sustained in coming to this place, inshallah, will be well worth it. Bi'idhnillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever leaves his home in order to gain knowledge, then he is in jihad. He is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars of Islam understood that hadith to mean that that person, if he were to actually die in that process of actually coming to a class, then he would be a shaheed, inshallah. So it is a tremendous reward, a tremendous a blessing, a tremendous barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses people to gain knowledge. And I'm happy and I'm excited and I'm honored that you all have decided to, inshallah, embark upon this path. Today, alhamdulillah, we have Surah Ma'arij. And Surah Ma'arij is a surah that was also revealed in Makkah in the very, very early period. It was revealed because of a challenge from a man by the name of An-Nadhr bin al-Harith. An-Nadhr bin al-Harith was a non-Muslim. And he came to Rasulullah and said, what does the Quran say? So the Prophet told him what the Quran said. Then he said, you know what? And then he actually looked up at the sky and he made a challenge to God, A'udhu Billah. And he said, oh Allah, if indeed this Quran is haqq, and this Quran that this man is reciting to us is the truth, فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوْ اِئْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. What did he say? He said, oh Allah, then punish us, destroy us right now by bringing down these rocks from the sky, raining down upon us hail and snow and rocks from the sky, or bring upon us a terrible punishment from yourself. So, Ya Ikhwati, this is what was said by this man, An-Nadhr bin al-Harith, and as a result of which, what actually happened was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. It is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He does not respond to the arrogant people with the arrogance or with the challenge that they were asking for. What would have happened if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to destroy them? There would be no more Khalid bin Walid or Abu Sufyan or any of the Sahaba. There would be no more Quraysh. There would be no Kaaba, etc. Allah would have destroyed and leveled them totally, correct? And so the point of the matter is, Ikhwati, there are these arrogant people amongst us sometimes. Sometimes disbelievers in the level of arrogance that they wish to challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a point that they even make this sort of comment saying, oh Allah, if this is true and if you're true, then why don't you kill me right now? A'udhu billah. And this is the height of arrogance. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He revealed this beautiful surah about the challenge that this man had brought out. In the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about following on from the previous surah. You remember the very previous surah? What was that about? It was Surah Haqqah. And Surah Haqqah was about the Day of Judgment, the A to Z of Day of Judgment. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go into the point where people are now going to be in the fire and being thrown into Jahannam. And how when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been given that they are going to go to Jahannam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now describe the fire in great detail to us. So in the first part of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Dhil Ma'arij, where the name of the surah comes from. Dhil Ma'arij meaning the one to whom everything ascends to. And that is a reference to the angels that will be ascending to Allah on the Day of Judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about the distress that people will face when they have been given the final command of going to Jahannam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will describe Jahannam in detail, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about Jahannam and innaha lava, nazza'atan lishawa, tadu'u man adbara wa tawalla, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will describe Jahannam in detail, and what I will do is I will give you a detailed description of Jahannam in that opportunity as well, bi'idhnillah. Then towards the last part of the surah, the middle part, so following on from the half of the surah till towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about who will be safe from Jahannam. Okay, this is this Jahannam that Allah has created, which is a worse of punishment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about what will save you from Jahannam, which is a terrible torment, the worst of punishment. How can you save yourselves from this terrible torture? And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about talk about salah, and he'll talk about zakat, he'll talk about charity, he'll talk about keeping your oath, he'll talk about all of these things that are critical for a person to have safety from Jahannam. Because indeed Jahannam will be full of people that will do the opposite of these things, not pray, not give zakat, not uphold the amana, etc. And then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will end the Quran talking about this, talking about the disbelievers and their arrogance with this Quran. So ya ikhwati, it's a nice surah, it's a very very beautiful surah talking about the terrible terrible adventure that awaits us all. And the whole aim of this, ya ikhwati, is so that we can inshallah be safe from this, and we can struggle with our lives to implement what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that will save us from the terrible fire. So inshallah, pay attention as we take the surah, and bi'idhnillah, the power of the surah will become very clear to you all. By the way, ya ikhwati, we are taking three surahs every week, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And my sincere aim and my sincere request to you all is, in those 4 or 5 days in between, try to memorize these surahs. Try to memorize them. Because now you know the meanings of these surahs. You know, they will have a special place in your heart, because they have a special meaning to you all. In your own spheres of influence, in your own lives, they will mean different things to you and have different relevance to your lives. So please do your level best to memorize them, so that inshallah ta'ala you try to recite them again and again in your prayers, bi'idhnillah. Tayyib, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is the most merciful to all of creation, the one who is specifically merciful to human beings. Sa'ala sa'ilum bi'adhabin waqi'. The questioner has asked about the adab, the punishment that is waqi', that will most definitely take place. Okay? Which question are they talking about? An-Nadhr bin al-Harith, right? He came to Rasulullah ﷺ and he said, if indeed this is truth, O Allah, give us the punishment. So at that point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ, meaning that the questioner has asked about my punishment, which will of a surety come true. لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٍ. For those who are disbelievers, there is nothing that can prevent them from it. From those who die upon disbelief, nothing in this dunya or the akhirah, nothing in existence can prevent you from that terrible punishment. لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٍ. لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٍ. Nothing that can, دَافِعٍ meaning دَفَعَ, which is to prevent, which is to defend. So from the disbelievers, nothing will defend. In fact, this is how Allah is telling us to respond to those people who also make the same comment. So you might be at your work, or you might be at your place, you're giving da'wah to some people, and an unfortunate non-Muslim makes a comment to you and says, if this is true, then tell your God to punish me right now. How should you respond when someone says like that? What should you say? Should you ask Allah to punish him right now? No. Respond in the same way. Recite this surah to them. سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٍ. So this is the best way. In fact, one of the most beautiful things I have noticed as I learned more and more tafsir is that whatever people ask you, you can always give them a verse of the Quran. Whatever they say, whoever they are, you can give them a verse of the Quran. You're speaking to a businessman, give them Surah Mutaffifin. وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. We will take that surah one day, and you will understand why I'm saying that for businessmen, give them Surah Mutaffifin. Right? Oh, you've got a father, then give them the verse about parents and their haqq upon children and their duty upon children. You've got a son who is not being dutiful to his mother, then give them the verses about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying be righteous to your parents. Or a wife, then give them the verses about men having a right over women. Or a husband who is being bad to his wife, then give them the verses about how Allah telling us and telling the men to be good to their wives. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is that we should know enough of tafsir so that we can always respond with a verse of the Quran. Because if you read the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, very many times the Prophet ﷺ used to respond with just the Quran. They would ask and say, oh Muhammad, what did Allah tell you? And then he would just recite a part of the Quran. Tell us about the situation, and the Prophet would just recite a part of the Quran. So it's one of the most amazing and most beautiful ways to actually, bi'idhnillah, give da'wah, because the Qur'an has its special way of responding and answering every allegation out there. للكافرين ليس له دافع. For those who disbelieve, there's nothing they can dafa, which is to defend against the punishment of Allah. من الله ذي المعارج. From Allah, the one to whom everything ascends. ذي المعارج is the one to whom everything does ascend. Ma'arij comes from the word araja. Araja means to rise up. So if I were to rise up over this, not me, but if there was a bird that rose up above us, that would be called araja alayhi. You know, he rose up above it. So ma'arij means the one that rises up. So dhil ma'arij, the one to whom everything rises up. So what rises up to Allah Azza wa Jal? Angels rise up to Allah Azza wa Jal. Good deeds rise up to Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Good deeds. إِلَيْهِ يَسْعُدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. To him, the good deeds rise up, and the righteous deed, he raises up to himself. Also, what else rose up to Allah? Isa alayhi salatu wasalam rose up to Allah. يَا عِيسَى إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ. O Isa, I will cause you to die, and then I will raise you up to me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above us. He is in the direction of highness above us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to him everything rises up. Ilallahi, minallahi, dhil ma'arij. Nothing can prevent the disbelievers from the punishment from Allah, which is from Allah, from the one to whom everything rises up. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those things that rise up, and that is the angels. Ta'arujul malaikatu warruhu ilayhi fi yawmin kana miqdaruhu 50,000 sana. Ta'aruju means rise up. What rises up? The malaika. So the malaika rise up. Warruh. What is ruh? Ruh meaning Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is called the ruh. It's one of his names. One of the names of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is ar-ruh. Jibra'il is his name. Jibreel is his name. And ar-ruh is one of his names as well. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is called the ruh. But isn't he a malaika? Yes. So why is it being specified, even though Malaika is mentioned first and then Jibreel is being specified? Why? Just to glorify Jibreel, just to honor Jibreel, just to show how great Jibreel is. And the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَحَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. He says what? And preserve your prayers, and you preserve your Asr prayer, Salat al-Wusta, middle prayer, which is the Asr prayer. And be attentive to Allah. Why does Allah specify Asr prayer after mentioning prayers in general? It is to glorify Asr prayer, the importance of the Asr prayer. Because this is the prayer in which the angels will interchange and they will come down. And it is one of the most difficult prayers for the disbelievers. Because they used to go to sleep after Dhuhr, when the heat was so strong in Medina, they used to go to sleep and not wake up till Maghrib, or later on when the sun was lower down. The heat was too intense. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifies Jibreel to honor him. مِنَ تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ إِلَيْهِ to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ. So تَعْرُجُ shows that this is not actually a metaphorical uruj, it is a physical uruj. Why? Because Allah says إِلَيْهِ, to him. And this إِلَيْهِ means from one direction to another direction. That's why we say that the Quran has more than 1,000 evidences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above us, above the 7 heavens. So the angels and Jibreel rise up to him fi yawmin kana miqdaruhu 50,000 sana, in a day in which the duration is 50,000 years. What does that mean? The scholars of tafsir explain this verse to mean that Allah is referring to the day of judgment. It is 50,000 years. Allahu Akbar. 50,000 years, ya ikhwati. We live only 50 years, 60 years, 70 years in this dunya. But 50,000 years will be the duration of the Day of Judgment. The authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explain that the 50,000 years is not even the judgment yet. It is us waiting for the judgment to start. Okay? The 50,000 years is waiting for the judgment to start. Yes, Salam. How are we going to spend that time, Ya Khuti? How are we going to spend that time? So these 50 years of our life in this dunya is going to buy the 50,000 years of good or bad. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, prepare for that day. Prepare for that day by preparing for it right now. Pay the mahar, buy your home in Jannah, pay its mortgage. Do it now. your food in Jannah, pay the fees now. All your ibadah, all your worship, do it now, ikhwati, because it is a very long day. And on that day, there's no more business or trade. No more ibadah, no more salah, no more zakat, no more itikaf, no more nothing at all. 50,000 years, Allahu Akbar. في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة فاصبر صبرا جميلا. So Allah orders His Prophet and orders His believers, us all. فاصبر O Muslimin, be patient O Muslimin. صبرا جميلا, a beautiful patience. What does صبرا جميل mean? صبرا جميل means that you should have patience just like the prophets of God had patience. Like Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had patience. 950 years he had patience. Like for example, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam had patience. Even though his child was lost and taken away, he had patience. Just like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had patience. Just like Ibrahim had patience when he was asked to slaughter his own son. When he was asked to circumcise himself at the age of 90 years old with an axe, Allah ordered him to circumcise himself. Ya Salam. Ya Khuti, my brothers and my sisters in Islam, have patience. Fasbir sabran jameela. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and He orders us, and He says, Wasbir kama sabara ulul azmi min ar-rusul. And be patient just like the greatest of the prophets had patience. Ulul azm, meaning the greatest of the prophets had patience. The greatest of the messengers had patience. So ya Khuti, this is very important. Fasbir sabran jameela. Be patient like the greatest of the prophets had patience. فَاصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا. They see it far away. Meaning they see the judgment far away. They're too impatient. They ask for their reward, Jannah right now or Jahannam right now. They're asking for it right now. إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا. So they're saying it's too far away, Allah. Bring it close. Make it now. وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. But be patient, for indeed it is soon. I see it as very, very soon. They're seeing Jahannam very far away. I see it as very soon. They see it as the reward for their good deeds too far away. I see it as very soon. So narahu qariba. So be patient, ya akhwati. My brothers and sisters in Islam, be patient, for the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly come. Yawma takunu samauk al-muhl. On which day will the recompense come? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now talks about the day of judgment and how it will look. So He says, يَوْمَ تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهْلِ. On that day when the sky will look like molten brass. What do you mean by molten brass? So ikhwati, have you seen an iron when they're molten and it flows like liquid, doesn't it? Have you seen that? Our iron flows like molten liquid. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that the sky will melt and will begin to flow. And the scholars described it to mean that because the sun will be so close, in one authentic narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the sun will be about 1 mil above our heads. Mil in the Arabic word can mean two things. It can mean 1 mile, or mil also means a comb, a hair comb, a hairbrush, also means a meal in Arabic. So therefore, ikhwati, in the Fusha Arabic, meal also means a comb. So therefore, the scholars have understood this verse to mean that, this hadith to mean that the sun will be at least a mile above our heads, or at most 10 centimeters above our heads. Because of this, the sky will be like molten brass, meaning it will be like liquid. It will be like liquid flowing and pouring on each other because of the intense heat of the sun on that day. يَوْمَ تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهْلِ وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِحْنِ. And the mountains will be like إِحْن. What's إِحْن? إِحْن means wet cotton. So wet cotton, if you take a pile of cotton and you pour water into it and it becomes wet, isn't it? Because wet and soft, have you seen it? Becomes wet and soft, meaning that the mountains have been pounded against each other so much and so forcefully that it's become like clay now. You can basically take the mountain and you can mold it as you wish. It's become that soft. Subhanallah. يَوْمَ تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهْلِ. When the sky is like molten brass. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِحْنِ. And the mountains become like soft, wet wool.
كالإحد ولا يسأل حميم لا يسأل حميم حميما. On that day, no beloved will ask about his beloved. So who is beloved to you? Your wife, your husband, your children. On that day, you will not ask about them at all. So is it because that you can't see them, that you can't remember them? Is that why you're not going to ask? Allah says no. Allah says in the very next verse, يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ. They will be able to see them. Meaning you'll be able to see your wife, you'll be able to see your children, you'll be able to see your husband, you'll be able to see your beloved brother or sister in this dunya. You'll be able to see them. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ. However, يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ. The mujrim wishes. Just wishes. يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي. If only he could sacrifice. Iftida means to do sacrifice. لَوْ يَفْتَدِي. If only. لَوْ means if only. يَفْتَدِي. If only he could sacrifice. مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ. If only he could sacrifice on that day the punishment of Allah and have safety from the punishment of Allah by sacrificing his bani, his child. Can you imagine? Me, I'm grabbing my son and saying, take my son instead of me. Ya salam. You know, you've all seen movies, I'm sure. And you've seen movies, what they do. Take me, don't take him, right? Isn't that what they say? Don't take my son, don't take my wife, take me, don't shoot him. Okay? Or you see these movies where your son's dying, or the son's dying, and then the guy, the hero says, take my heart, you know? Take my heart out and, you know, and give it to him. Isn't that what they say? SubhanAllah, can you imagine what will cause a person on that day to say the opposite? What will cause a person to say the exact opposite of that? When here, people will gladly be shot in the head themselves instead of their son, but the punishment must be not just one shooting, must be so severe, must be so tremendous, must be so unbelievable that a person is willing to give his son instead of himself. So you must understand, Ya Akhwati, the punishment of Allah is that severe. You cannot do qiyas of the punishment of Allah, analogy of the punishment of Allah, upon any punishment or any difficulty in this dunya, because it is too little. The punishment on that day is so severe that a person is willing to put his children forward rather than himself. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ. And if not his child, then وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ. And his wife. So he'll put his wife, take my wife, not me. Okay, take my wife. I know my wife is probably thinking that's what Tawfiq's going to say. No, but subhanAllah, can you imagine? Take my wife, not me. Take my akhi, my brother, not me. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ. Fasila means what? His offsprings and his close mates. أَلَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ. That he always goes back to and that he has a strong friendship with. وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِي. And not just that, he would rather sacrifice all of the people of this world. If he could, he would sacrifice everyone else and just for himself to be saved. Ya Salaam. This is the punishment. So what is the punishment that has driven people mad? In one verse in Surah Hajj, in the first surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the first verse of Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha al-insan, ittaqu rabbakum, inna zalzalata sa'ati shay'un azim. O mankind, fear your Lord. Verily, the earthquake of the day of judgment is a terrible thing. Yawma tarawnaha, the day when you see it. Tazhalu kullu murdi'atin amma arda'at. Every breastfeeding mother will throw her breastfeeding child from her breasts, will take the child and throw the child away. تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ أَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. And every pregnant woman will drop her pregnancy, will drop her baby from fear. She will just quickly get the baby out. From fear, she will leave the baby. تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ أَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. You will see mankind driven mad. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. They are not mad. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ But the punishment of Allah has driven them mad. So ikhwati, this is the whole point. The punishment of Allah is so severe. So what is that punishment? That people are willing to sacrifice all of humanity in order to be saved. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what that punishment is. He says in verse 15, كَلَّا نَي إِنَّهَا لَظَى What is that punishment? It is the lada. What is lada? Lada is something yaluddhu, that removes. So if I were to demonstrate, if I took a knife, yeah, like a scalpel, you know, a scalpel which you shave, you know, when you go to the barber, but I took a scalpel so sharp that I chipped all your scalp off until the bone showed, okay? All right, until the bone showed. So literally, I took a scalpel and peeled the whole skin off, only the bone remained, yeah? So sharply did I scalpel it that even the last bit of blood and last bit of tissue I took off, right? That is lada. Lada is something that scales the skin until the bones are visible and burns and destroys until it goes to the bone. That is what lada is. Okay? Lada is a fire that burns to the bones. Kalla innaha lada. Rather, nay, it is the scalding fire. It is the fire that destroys things all the way to the bone. Innaha lada. Nazza'atan lishawa. The fire that removes the shawa. Shawa is the top of the head. Meaning as soon as a person is being thrown into the fire, it is as if the bones, the skin and flesh are melting off the bones and they're becoming like bones. Nazza'atan lishawa. Why? Because people will be thrown in Jahannam from their heads. And as a result, the skin on their heads will peel off and it will completely go down to the bone. نَزَّعَةً لِلشَّوَى تَدُعُوا مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى It calls out, Ya Fir'aun, where are you? Ya Haman, where are you? So the fire will be calling out people's names. Ya Salam. Huh? Can you imagine the fire will be calling out the names of the shayateen? And will be calling out the names of the people of Jahannam as a further mockery, as a further fear. How bad is that, right? Like for example, you know, when my kids know that they've done something wrong and then they hide, you know, they hide. They know that the Baba's back and Baba's going to be angry. And then I say, Ibrahim, where are you, Ibrahim? And Ibrahim's smiling there. Can you see? Ibrahim knows. See, Ibrahim knows, right? Yusuf used to have that too. So Yusuf used to hide behind the walls. He thought behind the doors. He thought I'd never find him there. And subhanAllah, and I used to just to create a little bit of fear and suspense. Ya Ibrahim, Ya Yusuf. So it's to create a lot more fear and suspense. Can you imagine on that day, for 50,000 years, the Jahannam is calling out your names. You know you're headed for it. You know it's calling your names because you are going to go into Jahannam. Look at the terror. And the terrifying situation of that. تَدْعُو مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى It calls out to every single person who أَدْبَرَ أَدْبَرَ means he turned aside, he turned his back, وَتَوَلَّى and went away. Right? So أَدْبَر is to show your back and تَوَلَّى is to move away from something and to leave and go away. So if the brother is, like for example, when he just moved the microphone for me just now, then adbara wa tawalla. Okay? He adbar, he moved, he turned around, tawalla, and he moved away. So I'm like, come here. All right? I'm calling him, and he's adbara wa tawalla. So it calls upon everyone who has adbara wa tawalla, meaning turned away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tadu'u man adbara wa tawalla. Wa jama'a fa awa'a. Jama'a meaning, and he got all his wealth together, and he hoarded it. So it will call upon anyone who turned away from the salah and turned away from Allah's remembrance and he hoarded his wealth and he kept it all together all for himself. Meaning he never gave anything away for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ikhwati, this is Jahannam. Jahannam has been described by the Prophet in many, many hadith of Rasulullah which are authentic. Let me tell you some of the descriptions of Jahannam that are authentic. Number one. We know that Jahannam has been lit for 70 years until it turned white, then 70 years until it turned red, and then for another 70 years until Jahannam turned black, meaning it was kindled. So what that basically means is that the angels, the 19 angels of Jahannam, they kept on blowing into it, and throwing into it bodies of shayateen and ins, and throwing into it rocks and whatever else into it to kindle the fire, until the fire has been kindled for 210 years. How long does it take to start a fire? Have you ever started a fire in the woods? It only takes 10 minutes, right? Sometimes if you get a light and then you blow a little bit and then it comes up. Sometimes when you start a barbecue, has anyone started a barbecue? It takes only 15 minutes sometimes. You kindle it, a little bit of air, alhamdulillah. Imagine something that has been kindled for 210 years. 210 years of fire has been building. That is what has happened to Jahannam. Number two, Jahannam is huge. The Prophet ﷺ told us that Jahannam has 70,000 rings. On each of the rings is a rope. On each of the rope is 70,000 angels. Huge, massive. We also know that Jahannam is insatiable. What does that mean? Insatiable means it every time you throw people, throw people in there, the more hungry it gets. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Qaf, He said, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ. On that day when we will call out to Jahannam, هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ. Are you full? And Jahannam will say, هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيد. Is there any more? Okay, is there any more? And the tafsir mentions that Jahannam will ask for more and more. And he will not stop doing it until Allah puts his foot on Jahannam and squashes Jahannam. On that point, Jahannam will say, bas, that's it, Ya Rab, I'm full. That's on the authentic hadith of Rasulullah. The third description of Jahannam is that the Prophet said that it is 70 times hotter than the hottest fire in this dunya. Okay? 70 times hotter than the hottest fire. What is the hottest fire that we know of in existence? Millions of Kelvin, which is the temperature of the sun. So it is hotter than even the temperature of the sun, 70 times. And in the Arabic language, when you say 70, it means countless. Okay, that's why Allah says to Rasulullah, even if you were to ask 70 times to forgive the non-Muslims, I would still not forgive them. That does not mean that only ask 71 times and Allah will forgive. No, it means 70 means, in the word 70 in Arabic means countless. Right. Also, Ya Ikhwati, the next description of Jahannam that has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that it is so huge and that the fire is so immense that it throws out sparks. And the sparks are so great that they are like castles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He says, إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرَرٍ قَالْقَصَرْ كَأَنَّهَا جِمَالَةٌ صُفُرٌ. It throws out sparks, and each spark is so huge. إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرَرَ. Verily it throws out sharara, which is sparks. قَالْقَصَرْ. They are as huge palaces. If you were to see them as the sparks come out. Have you seen the sparks when they weld and the sparks come out? Well, imagine that Jahannam has sparks that are coming out continuously. And when the sparks come out, remember how the sparks come and they just sometimes fall on the ground like that? Have you seen that? So the Quran says when it comes out, it is like a huge castle. And as it walks off or falls on the ground and goes off, كَأَنَّهَا جِمَالَةٌ صُفُرٌ. It is as if they are red camels, a group of red camels when they are flowing out or they're running away. Can you imagine a pack of red camels? This is how huge the sparks are. Also, the next description of Jahannam that has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that people will enter Jahannam and have clothes made of fire made from them. Clothes of fire. فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قُطِّعَتْ لَهُ ثِيَابٌ مِّن نَارٍ يُصَبُّ مِّن فَوْقِ رُؤُسِهُ الْحَمِيمِ. So as for the one who has disbelieved, then clothes made of fire will be cut out for him. So we understand that the Jahannam has clothes made of fire that people will wear. Clothes made of fire. The next description given by the scholars, the next description that the Quran says is that Jahannam has a special food that comes from a special tree. And that tree is called Zakkum. إِنَّ شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُّومِ مِطَعَامُ الْأَثِيمِ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْبُطُونِ كَغَلِّ الْحَمِيمِ. It's in Surah Safat. Verily, the tree of Zakkum, it has a fruit that resembles the heads of shaitan. So can you imagine the head of a shaitan? And if you were to bite into it, then it scalds, meaning it's acidic. It burns the inside. So this is the food of the people of Jahannam, the Shajarat al-Zaqqum. And it is a shajara that grows from the fire itself. Right. The next description of Jahannam that the Prophet ﷺ gave was that the people who will enter Jahannam will be made very, very big and large. They'll be made massive. Until the Prophet ﷺ said that the molar teeth of the non-Muslim in Jahannam will be the size of the Mount of Uhud. The molar tooth will be the size of the mountain of Uhud. Can you imagine how big they are? And the Prophet ﷺ also said that the seat of a person in Jahannam, the seat, the chair that a person in Jahannam will sit on, is the size of the distance between Medina and Makkah, which is approximately 500 kilometers. Subhanallah. Can you imagine how big it is? How huge is the distance and how big their bodies will be? Why will Allah make their bodies so big? So that they feel the punishment even more. So that they feel the punishment even more. There's more surface area. There's more to punish. And so the punishment is felt even worse and even more severe. So, ya akhwati, this is what has driven people mad. And this is the punishment and this is the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know how severe the fire is? You know how severe the punishment is? That even a small amount of Jahannam, a small amount of the fire is enough to make your brains boil. We know that Abu Talib will have the least of the punishment. The Prophet's uncle will have the least of punishment, which is a sandal made from fire, but his brains will boil from it. Authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Also, we know that Jahannam is a place of ambush. We know that Jahannam is a place of ambush. That there are hidden creatures in Jahannam that Allah has created to punish the people of Jahannam. Okay? And that's in Surah Juz'Abba, in Surah Naba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Jahannam is a place of إِنَّهَا كَانَ مِرْصَادَ لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ. Verily, إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادَ. Verily, Jahannam is a place of ambush. And the tafsir of that verse mentions that there are all these wondrous creatures Allah has created in Jahannam, all made of fire, that will pounce upon the people of Jahannam in order to bite upon them. So, ya akhwati, this is Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and me from it and our families from it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from it and write for us safety from Jahannam today. Oh Allah, make us from those people who are safe from Jahannam. تَدْعُوا مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى. So who are the people who will enter Jahannam? The ones who turned away and did not pay attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. وَجَمَعَ فَأَوْعَى. And they gathered the wealth together. They gathered the wealth together and they hoarded the wealth. And they never ever gave its haq, never gave zakat, never gave charity, never fed a poor person, never ever did that. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Verily mankind was created halu. What does halu mean? One of the meaning of halu means that mankind is always striving for good for himself. Another meaning of halu means he is very, very hasty and always striving for khair for himself. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. When evil strikes him, then he is despondent and he is distressed. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. But when good touches him, then he is manu'a. Manu'a meaning he is withholding and he stops. What is Allah saying about telling us here? Meaning one of the reasons why we enter Jahannam, or why insan will enter Jahannam, is because our nature is that we are too hasty. We look for easy gains, quick gains right now. That is right now. What's khair for us now? That's why we go for pleasures, sins. Are we to say that sins don't give us any pleasure at all? It does. It must give us some pleasure. And that's why we go for it. But it's only a fleeting pleasure. It's only a tiny pleasure. It's only a quick pleasure. Then what comes after it is distress and disaster. And that is the whole point, ikhwati. Zina gives you 5-10 minutes of pleasure, and then after that, it's haram. And then after that, disaster and distress after it. And this is the whole point, ya ikhwati. The whole point is insan is halu. And إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. He is always withholding. He is despondent when evil strikes him, and when good strikes him, he doesn't share it. He doesn't thank Allah, nor does he share the khair with others. So إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. And when good touches him, manu'a, he withholds. So he doesn't give his time to Allah Azza wa Jal. He doesn't spend his time looking after humanity or benefiting other Muslimin. He doesn't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ikhwati, remember I told you that before in the last tafsir. I told you that thankfulness is a level higher than praise, correct? So alhamd is a level, but shukr is a level higher than that. So how can you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Just by saying alhamdulillah, you praised him. But how can you thank Allah? Then that is by memorizing the Quran, that is by praying, that is by giving sadaqah, that is by speaking the truth, right? And that is shukr, ya khuti. Shukr is not just by word, it happens by deeds. It has to happen by deeds. So ask yourself, ya khuti, when good touches you, are you someone who thanks Allah Azza wa Jal? Or are you someone who is manu'a, always withholds back? Except illa al-musalleen. Allah says, except for the musalleen. They're the ones who are not manu'a, they're the ones who are not halu'a, they're not the ones who are jazu'a, they're not the ones who are jama'a fa'aw'a, they're not the ones who adbara wa tawalla. Right? They're not. They are different people. The musalleen are different people. But ikhwati, the question might be coming in your head, but today a lot of people are musalleen, but still we see them manu'a, halu'a, jazu'a, and everything else, and whatever else, you know, other words there are, they are that too. Why is it? The reality is because our salah does not go beyond our throats. Our prayers today are useless to most of us, because we hurry up and pray at the last minute, or we don't even pray with ihsan, or we don't even learn about salah. How many of us actually started praying and learned about the fiqh of salah before we started praying properly? Properly understood the fiqh of salah. How many of us? Very few. How many of us actually do things and learn before we do it? How many of us perfect our salah? How many of us learned about khushu or strive for khushu? And that's why, ya ikhwati, our salah is not making an impact in our lives. Today, our salah is not making an impact in our lives simply because, ya ikhwati, we don't connect with our salah and we don't give it the importance that salah should have. And so as a result, unfortunately, we might be musalleen, but we're not really musalleen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, illa al-musalleen. So if we truly are musalleen, then we're going to be different. We're not going to be hasty. We're going to be thankful to Allah. We're not going to hoard our wealth. We're going to give it away. And we're going to be different types of people. Illa al-musalleen. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell you about those characteristics that will save you from this terrible Jahannam. So illa al-musalleen, except for those who pray. Illa al-musalleen. Alladhina hum ala salatihim da'imun. Those who are constant upon their prayers. Constancy means what? Means regularity. Meaning praise at their earliest times. And with the highest of concentration. And with the best levels of khushu. And always struggling to pray in the first row. And always in jama'ah, if possible. Where possible. And always ensures he prays in the oldest masjid. That's also the meaning of da'imun. What does it mean by oldest masjid? Our Shaykh, may Allah have mercy upon him, Shaykh Muhammad Mukhtar Shanqiti, used to tell us, do not pray except in the oldest of masajid. Do not pray except in the oldest of masajid. We used to ask him, ya Shaykh, why? And he used to say, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says, awwalu masjidin ussisat ala taqwa. He praises the masjid of Quba. And he says it is the first masjid that was built upon taqwa. And the scholars at tafsir said, therefore the older the masjid, the more valuable the salah in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ya ikhwati, I know you might say, wow, mashallah, let's go to pray that masjid. It's a new masjid. Fantastic carpets, fantastic perfume, beautiful reciter, yada yada yada, whatever, right? Beautiful air conditioning. But guess what? To Allah, the ones that has the most value in your salah are the oldest masajid. Okay? Alladhina hum ala salatihim da'imun. Those who are constant about their prayers. And we are going to realize, ikhwati, right after this verse, Allah is going to talk about other deeds that are also important that will save you from Jahannam. But at the end, He will also go back to salah again. Meaning, Allah will mention salah twice. Just to show you how He will wrap everything in salah, and that's what the scholars of tafsir said, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wrapped all these deeds that will save you from Jahannam by mentioning salah at the beginning and salah at the end, shows that therefore if you don't have salah, all these other deeds are useless. Okay? And shows that salah is that critical deed that will inshallah ta'ala ennoble all your other deeds. إلا المصلين الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون. Those who are constant about their prayers. والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم. And those who have في أموالهم in their wealth حق معلوم. A well-known حق. Meaning that they know that when they earn wealth, that this wealth does not totally just belong to them. It belongs to someone else. Who else does the wealth belong to? وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. For those who ask and those who are close in relationship, in blood relationship. So when you have wealth, ya ikhwati, you know that the people that also have a right upon that wealth are not only your family, but also those people, are not only yourself, but also those people who are close relation to you, and also those who ask you as well, the beggars and those in need, correct? So next time, I want to make this point very, very clear. Next time your family asks you for wealth, let's say you have an auntie or a chachi, dadi, nani, somewhere out there who's asking for some wealth, or an uncle or auntie there somewhere who's asking for some wealth, you know, the tendency is to say, you know what, I've already helped you. And you sometimes brag about that. Sometimes, you know, your wife gets angry. Why are you sending your family money all the time? Do you know that or not, guys? Especially, I know in my culture, Pakistani, Bengali, Indian culture, you know, our wives, unfortunately, sometimes make it a matter of argument with us. Why are you sending your family so much money? Well, recite this verse to them. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. They know that there is a haqq of their family on their wealth. So you can't argue with me why I'm sending money back to my mom. They have a haqq of my wealth. Right? They have a haqq of my wealth. And don't argue with me why I'm giving poor people money, etc. They have a haqq on my wealth as well. When you know, therefore, that the poor have a haqq on your wealth, ikhwati, then next time you give charity, stop thinking you're doing a good deed for yourself. Yeah, you are doing a good deed, but stop acting like, you know what? You're giving more than what is due to you, due from you. You're giving what is due upon you. You're just giving someone else's haqq away. Today, our lack of charity has gone to a level today where, you know what, some people come to me and saying, Sheikh, can I give my riba money that I earned in my bank account to that orphanage? I said, yeah, of course you can. Say, and then I've seen people giving them money, riba money that they have earned. Riba, right? Not charity, normal charity, riba money. They give it away and they say, oh Allah, I'm doing it for your face, oh Allah, give me your reward. And I feel like, you know what? These people need a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. Why? Because on top of riba, which is not even your money, you're actually getting rid of the riba. That person is helping you by decreasing your sin, rather than you doing a good deed. Today, our lack of charity has gotten to that level. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, we have to revive charity. We have to revive charity. Do you know in Surah Munafiqun, verse number 14, right? Verse number 14. Surah Munafiqun in verse number 14. Does anyone have the Quran with them? Turn to Surah Munafiqun, verse number 14. Yeah? What number is Surah Munafiqun? What number Surah is that? 63? Right. 63. Surah number 63, verse number 14. I just want to show you something very critical that is part of this understanding of infaq and giving in the path of Allah. Surah Munafiqun, verse number 14. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقْ وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Right? Huh? Verse 10, I'm sorry. Thank you, I apologize. Verse 10 of Surah Munafiqun. So Surah 63, verse number 10. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? This verse, does it apply to Muslims or non-Muslims? Muslims. This verse was revealed for Muslimin. Allah says, وَأَنْفِقُوا, and give your wealth. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, before death comes to any one of you, O Muslimin. وَيَقُولَ, and then you end up saying at the time of death, Rabbi, O my Lord, لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي, please, just give me 1 second, one more minute, right? لو لأخرتني إلى أجل قريب, meaning just a few more seconds, a few more minutes for me to live, what would I do the first thing? Go for Hajj, go for Jihad, gain knowledge, pray? No, it's give sadaqah. First thing I would do is for as-saddaq wa akun min as-salihin, and I would be from the righteous ones. What does that mean, ikhwati? The one thing that will save you from Jahannam, more than anything else, okay? More than anything else, after salah and tawheed, is your sadaqah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, إِنَّ الصَّدَقَةَ تُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبِّ كَمَا يُطْفِئُ مَاءَ النَّارِ. Verily, the sadaqah extinguishes the anger of Allah just like water extinguishes the fire. So extinguish the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with charity. Ya ikhwati, have you read the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where the sahaba perpetrated sins? Whenever you read that the sahaba made a sin, the first thing they would do is give charity. Right? First thing you would do is give charity. So ikhwati, this is the whole point. The most important way after salah, Allah is mentioning sadaqah and charity. And that's why 27 times in the Quran, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ, and establish the prayer and give the zakat. 27 times. So ikhwati, it is so critical. Salah, and right after that must come charity. And that's why the closest of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ that joined the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah right after the Prophet's death was who? Which wife? Which wife was it? The Prophet ﷺ said, the one that will join me, the first will be the one with the longest hand. Huh? The longest hand. Not Khadija. Khadija, of course, yes, she died before. But the one who joined the Prophet ﷺ right after his death, which one was it? The one who joined the Prophet ﷺ right after his death, the soonest was who? No, man, Aisha many years later. Huh? Salama. Okay? And why? Because Salama was the one who gave the most charity. Okay? The most charity in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why, ya khuti, if you want your reward to come faster to you, and you want your blessings faster than anything else, then give charity the most. And she was well known to be, of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, the most charitable of them all. طيب يا اخوتي, so be of those people who give. إذا مس, where are we? وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, for those who ask and those who are near related. وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, and those who testify to the truthfulness of the Day of Judgment. Who are those who testify to the truthfulness of the Day of Judgment? Those who gain knowledge. So this verse is referring to those who seek knowledge, the tulab al-ilm, and the scholars of knowledge. So right after salah, Allah mentions zakat. Right after zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions knowledge. وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, because tasdiq, and those who speak the truth, are those who know the truth and then attest to his truthfulness. And who are they? Who are the siddiqeen? They are nothing but the ulama. They are the scholars of Islam and the students of knowledge. وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ, and those who truly fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ. Allahu Akbar. Verily, the punishment of Allah is, there is no guarantee of safety from the punishment of Allah. That's what Allah is saying. Inna adaba rabbihim, verily the punishment of your Lord, غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ, meaning there is no guarantee of safety for any one of you. So for me, no guarantee of safety. For you, no guarantee of safety. And that's why, ya khwati, that's why, never ever think that you have a safety or a guarantee of safety from the punishment of Allah just because you're Muslims. Just because you're fasting today, don't ever think it. Wallahi, you could have done the ibadah your whole life. They come on the last day of your death, even then you must not think, Ya Rabbi, I've done so much in my life. No guarantee of safety or punishment at all. No guarantee of safety or punishment at all, ya ikhwati. No guarantee of safety or punishment. Inna adaba rabbihim ghayru mamoon. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And those who guard their private parts. Those who guard their private parts. This is very critical. Guarding your private parts. Sisters in Islam, hijab. Very critical for every one of you. Very critical. And the hijab is not just a hijab that is worn. A hijab is a way of life. The hijab is a way of life. It includes the dress. It includes the way you speak. It includes the way you behave. It includes where you sit, where you are. It includes how you interact with males. It includes where you study and how you study. Hijab is a way of life. It is not only a dress. So, ya ikhwati, to protect your private parts, meaning to cover your awra, meaning to stop anything that will lead to illegal sexual intercourse. So not even the phone calls, not even the blinking messages, not even the flirting, not even the second looks, not even the gazing, not even the desires of the heart, anything that will lead to it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Those who protect their private parts. The scholars of Islam, they say, when the Qur'an kharaja makhraj al-ghalib, la yu'tabar mafhumuhu. There's a qa'idah. What does that mean? The qa'idah means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something which is the most critical thing in an issue, then the understanding of the prohibition or the obligation must not be restricted to only that thing only. I know it sounds like a very, very strong, very difficult qa'idah to understand, but basically what it's saying is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions something, then do not restrict yourself to only that thing. His prohibition extends to beyond that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for example, do not la tashrabu fi aniyati dhahab al-fidda, don't drink from the gold and silver utensils. That also means don't make wudu from gold and silver utensils as well. Okay? Doesn't mean just not drinking from it. Also means not making wudu. So that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and protect your private parts, it doesn't just mean protect your private parts. It means protect your hands, protect your eyes, protect your hearts from anything that can lead to illegal interaction between a man and a female, that which is not halal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib ya ikhwati? And ya ikhwati, think about this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for all these things to be other than how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained, He would have allowed us to date. Allah would have allowed us to date each other before we got to know each other. Allah didn't intend that. Allah didn't allow that. Allah didn't even allow a second glance except at the time of getting married. So why do we today condone dating? Why do we allow the promiscuity that we have in society today, ya ikhwati? It's something we should not tolerate. We should not condone. We should be far more protective of our private parts than anything else. So sisters, this is for you and for brothers. Ya ikhwati, if there is one thing that will lead you to Jahannam more than anything else, it's your private parts. And for women, if there's one thing that will lead you more to Jahannam than anything else, it's your mouths. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said the one thing that leads women to Jahannam is the words that they say. And the Sahaba said, how ya Rasulullah? And so the Sahaba said, because a man does something to a woman and a woman says, I have never ever seen anything good from you. Remember the hadith, it's authentic, it's in Bukhari. So that which leads a woman to Jahannam is the mouth. And that which leads a man to Jahannam is that which is between your legs. Because we tend not to think with this, we tend to think with something else. And that's our mushkila. We are sexual creatures. And that is our test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with that test of thinking with our sexuality more than anything else, ya ikhwati. And this is our test. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, I have not left behind for men any greater fitna than women. Not even the Dajjal is as great a fitna for men than women. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, what does it mean? It means protect yourselves with fasting, protect yourselves with marriage, protect yourself even if you have to with a second marriage, and a third, and a fourth. Allah has allowed this. Allah has allowed this, but Allah has not allowed all these other things that we do. Allah hasn't allowed masturbation. Allah hasn't allowed dating and having a girlfriend. Allah hasn't allowed even a kiss. Allah hasn't allowed any other ways to divulge our desires except through halal marriage. So my brothers in Islam, you have to get married. Get married. My sincere advice, get married. Even if you're young, Allah will give you wealth and money. Allah will increase you in wealth. Don't think about too much about, oh, how am I going to look after my wife? I don't have money. Money will come. Allah will not leave you. Allah will not order you to do something and then leave you alone. Allah provided for you. Allah will provide for you and your wife as well, inshallah. And you're going to find immense blessings in marriage. So do not stop yourselves from getting married, ya khwati. And be of those people who rush into marriage. The Prophet ﷺ said, hastiness is from the shaitan, except in three things: doing good deeds, burying the dead, and getting the young ones married. So ya khwati, get married. My brothers in Islam, get married. Get married. And protect yourselves from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ Those who protect their private parts. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ Except from their wives. أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ Or from their slave girls. أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ Meaning what their right hands possess. Meaning the consenting slave girls. If you have a slave, of course there is none at the moment. But if there is, then if the slave girl consents to sleeping with you, then it's permissible according to this verse in the Quran. And this is not abrogated. This is continues on till today. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ If they were to do that, then they are not sinful. They are not to be blamed if they were to quell the hunger of their body by sleeping with their wives or their slave girls. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ So whoever wishes anything other than that. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ Whoever wishes anything other than that, فَإِنَّهُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ Then they are the ones who transgress the limits. So they are the ones who transgress the limits. Those who go into pornography, those who go into masturbation, those who go into any other way to quell your desire except through these ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ And those who are always looking after ra'un, meaning always fulfilling their amana and their ahd. And their amana means the trust that Allah has put upon you, and the ahd meaning the contract that people have done with you, which is based upon a mutual understanding and a mutual faith. So if someone has entrusted you with something, you must fulfill it. And if you have made a promise to someone, you must fulfill it. You made a contract to someone, you must fulfill it. So وَالَّذِينَ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ You've made an ahd, for example, with Malaysia, haven't you? I, for example, have entered Malaysia. I've got a visa with Malaysia. So I have a contract with the government here that I will fulfill and abide by its laws. So I should not break the laws of Malaysia willfully. Right? And Allah is saying here that I must look after my right, my obligations. In the same way, I have an Australian passport. I've got an ahd with Australia, with the government of Australia, with the people of Australia. And so I should not be treacherous to that. I should not be treacherous to that ahd. And this is fulfilling your amana and your ahd that you have with people. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَحْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ Meaning they fulfill and they look after the amana and the ahd. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ And those who are upright with their witnesses. Meaning whenever they witness to the truth. They never ever witness to falsehood. So they always witness to that which is upright. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ Again, Allah goes back to salah. And those who are upright about their salah. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ They are going to be safe from Jahannam and they're going to be in Jannah mukramun. Meaning, they will have karam done upon them. What is karam? Karam means they will have a lot of nobility. They will have karam, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them in the most noble of ways. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّةِ مُكْرَمُونَ They will be honored and ennobled in Jannah, inshallah. فَمَا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قِبَلَكَ مُحْتِعِينَ So what is wrong with the disbelievers? That towards you, they are muhti'een, meaning they are running away, musra'een. Muhti'een meaning musra'een. Meaning that Muhammad ﷺ is here, so the disbelievers look at you and say, no, let's go away. Go away, go, everyone, let's go, go. This is just a madman here who's talking. فَمَا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا So what is wrong with the disbelievers? Around you, muhti'een, that they are running away. عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ عِزِينَ. They are in groups to your right and to your left. عِزِينَ means groups. So عَنِ الْيَمِينَ, to your right and to your left, they're in groups and they're running away and they're walking away very, very quickly. What is wrong with them? أَيَطْمَعُ كُلُّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَيُّدْخَلَ جَنَّةَ نَعِيمٍ. Do they have a guarantee that they will be entering the blessed Jannah? Do they have a promise from Allah, a guarantee from Allah, that they will not be punished in Jahannam and enter Jannah? Kalla, no, of course they don't. They have no guarantee and no guarantee at all that they will ever enter Jannah. Kalla, inna khalaqnahum mimma ya'lamun. Rather, of a surety they know from what we have created. Meaning, let not human beings forget where they came from, which is from a clot of blood, which came from a despicable fluid that flew from the man, with a bu'aida, an egg that came from the woman. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings from that. So how does human beings think so highly of themselves? Kalla inna khalaqnahum mimma ya'lamun. Fala uqusimu bi rabbil mashariqi. So I don't swear, meaning I don't swear, meaning of a surety I swear. Remember what I said before in Surah Mulk, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says I don't, that means what Allah means is of a surety I do. Right? In Arabic, in Balagha, when you say La uqusimu bi yawm al-qiyama, it means what? Of a surety I do. Absolutely I swear by. Fala uqusimu bi rabbil mashariqi wal magharibi. Meaning of a surety, I swear by the Lord of the East and the West. I swear by the Lord of the East and the West. Inna laqadirun. Verily we are most capable. What are we capable of? Ala an nubaddila khayran minhum. That we are able to, we're capable of changing the khair that they have. Ala an nubaddila khayran minhum. Wama nahnu bimasbuqeen. And we will not be overtaken in this cause. Meaning, we will not be superseded. No one will be able to supersede me. And everyone will be overtaken in this khair, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so wills. Meaning, ya ikhwati, do not have a guarantee that the khair that Allah has given you will persist and last forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take it away at any point in time. And subhanAllah, anyone who has had a serious distress in their lives, they know what we're talking about. At one point they have money, the next point they're gone. One point they have their dad and their mom, next point, you know, they get a message, their parents have passed away. SubhanAllah. Allah is indeed able to change a situation from one of good to evil, one of prosperity to one of disaster overnight, wallahi. فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا. So let them be. Let them يَخُوضُوا. So let them be yakhudu, meaning waste time in vanity. وَيَلْعَبُوا, and let them play around. حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي يُوعَدُونَ. Until they meet that day which they have been promised. يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ. That day when they will come out from the ajdath, meaning the graves. يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا, meaning مُسْرِعًا. So when we come out of the ajdath, as we know, the tafsir of this verse mentions that on the day of judgment, when Allah will recreate the graves, then Allah will cause a bit of rain to fall upon the graves, water. When from that water, when we will hear the thuds of water on the top of the graves, we will start moving the hands, and the hands will dig out the soil on top, and we will come out as quickly as we can. يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا. We will come out, jump out as quickly as we can out of the graves. Why? Because this is the day that we've been waiting for. Right? سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ نُصُبِ يُوفِضُونَ. As if they are running towards a goal. Meaning, as if they are running towards the Jannah that they feel that they are all going to be going to. Right? So on that day, Allah has described our coming out on that day out of the ajdath as sirah, and very quickly we will come out. And we will want to then run towards our goal, meaning Jannah, because we can hear it and smell it. And this is the Jannah. This is how people will come out of their graves. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ. However, as soon as they come out of the graves, their faces will be filled with fear. خَاشِيَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْحَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٌ. Their faces will be filled with disgrace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disgrace and dhillah from Allah. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ. That is the day that they had been promised. So this is Surah Ma'arij. Ya ikhwati, as you can see, this surah was revealed in Makkah. So it was very early on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them about Jahannam. Very early on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them about Salah and Zakat and about Amana and about protecting your private parts. All of these injunctions came out very, very early on. And so, ya ikhwati, us being where we are in our practice of Islam, being like the very early Muslims that really just accepted Islam, this surah is very, very critical for us to pay attention to. So be of those people, ya ikhwati, of those people who protect yourselves from Jahannam, and be of those people who do the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this verse, and come closer to Jannah, inshallah. Let me recite in Arabic, and inshallah ta'ala, you will bi'idhnillah understand now the meaning of it, now that you understand the Arabic bi'idhnillah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سأل سائل بعذاب واقع للكافرين ليس له دافع من الله ذي المعارج تعرج الملائكة والروح إليه في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة فاصبر صبرا جميلا إنهم يرونه بعيدا ونراه قريبا يوم تكون السماء كالمهل وتكون الجبال كالعهن ولا يسأل حميم حميما يبصرونهم يود المجرم لو يفتدي من عذاب يومئذ ببنيه وصاحبته وأخيه وفصيلته التي تؤويه ومن في الأرض جميعا ثم ينجيه كلا إنها لظى نزاعة للشوى تدعو من أدبر وتولى وجمع فأوعى إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا إلا المصلين الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم والذين يصدقون بيوم الدين والذين هم من عذاب ربهم مشفقون إن عذاب ربهم غير مأمون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم بشهاداتهم قائمون والذين هم على صلاتهم يحافظون أولئك في جنات مكرمون فما للذين كفروا قبلك محتعين عن اليمين وعن الشمال عزين أيطمع كل امرئ منهم أن يدخل جنة نعيم كلا إنا خلقناهم مما يعلمون
فلا أقسم برب المشارق والمغارب إنا لقادرون على أن نبدل خيرا منهم وما نحن بمسبوقين فذرهم يخوضوا ويلعبوا حتى يلاقوا يومهم الذي يوعدون يوم يخرجون من الأجداث سراعا كأنهم إلى نصب يوفضون خاشعة أبصارهم ترحقهم ذلة ذلك اليوم الذي كانوا يوعدون.
جزاكم الله خير. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us from the tafsir of this beautiful surah and make us of those people inshallah who implement
it. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله ما لنا